Hey everybody, how's it going? Colin and Tim here, bringing you another episode of Stand Up and Marvel. Today we're announcing our first giveaway, so make sure to stick around. We'll be talking about the details later in the episode. So today we're talking about She-Hulk episode 4. This is a pretty good episode. I really liked it. What'd you think about it, Tim?
Honestly, I liked it, but I wasn't like over the top about it, you know. I don't know. For this episode, I just got major filler vibes a little bit. Like, it didn't really touch base on anything that has been led up to this point in time.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
We don't have anything going on with Abomination. We don't have anything going on with Bruce Banner. Nothing going on with, we have a little bit going on with the firm and new court proceedings and stuff like that with Donnie Blaze going on.
That's a fair point. I mean, it didn't really do much to progress the story. It didn't really circle back to much that we've seen up to this point.
But, you know, it was a fun episode. I mean, it's just like, I just got the filler episode vibe from it. I was just like, it's just one of those filler episodes. Nothing really spectacular happened in this. Like, this is one of those episodes that you can just skip. And it won't ruin the story or plot line of the rest of the series.
I mean, there might be like one or two
things going on in here, but for the most part, you can just skip it. But it was entertaining. I won't lie. It was entertaining, to say the least. There were a bunch of stuff in there that I thought were really funny, and I'm glad, you know. And we're still doing the cameo appearances once a week until they stop.
Are we? Are you counting Wong?
Yeah, I'm counting Wong. She counted Wong in the last one, so.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, it was new cameos. That's what I thought that she meant, like a new cameo every episode, whereas this was a repeat cameo.
Oh, a new cameo.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I'm undecided if it counts or not.
Okay, if we're going by that baseline, then no, it's not a new cameo. But
I mean, we got some new
as far as like cameos going on, yeah, we got Wong again. But yeah. I'll agree to that if we're going by that. Yeah, no new cameo this week.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. The episode didn't really progress the story much, but it was a fun episode.
It was.
We got to see Jen attempt to date. We got, you know, Wong again, obviously, which was great. We got tons of Ghost Rider.
references. A ton of Ghost Rider references.
Yeah. Let's actually just run through that really quick, because that gets me really excited. I know Mike's going to be really excited to hear about that. All right, so everything that I caught, some of these, one or two of these I might be wrong about, but the vast majority of them I feel like are intentionally pointing towards either Ghost Rider, Mephisto, or both. So there was the song at the beginning of the episode, which was like the theme song of Donnie Blaze, and they played that song again at the end of the episode after the end credits, the post credit scene. And that song, I tried to like listen to the Ghost Rider soundtrack prior to this recording, and I was digging around because it sounded so familiar. I feel like it's from either the first or second Ghost Rider movie, or maybe the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I couldn't find anything. I could be wrong about that, but it has serious Ghost Rider vibes.
Yeah.
That song. So I feel like that was a reference. I could be wrong about that, but that was my hunch there. And then obviously Donnie Blaze's name. I mean, come on.
Donnie Blaze versus
Johnny Blaze. That's just like Shang-Chi all over again. Shang versus Sean.
Yep.
So definitely felt very intentional. I don't know if he's actually related, or maybe just like in Shang-Chi, maybe it is actually Johnny Blaze and he just changed his name to have more of a stage name, even though I don't know how changing from Johnny to Donnie would really help in that regard, but who knows.
But like, you would also think like when he opens up like portals to like when he opened up the portal to that realm where he sent Madison, it looked like a very not so great place. And like, if it was Johnny in like disguise or anything, you know, the spirit of vengeance inside would probably get a little provoked there. I mean,
well, maybe he hasn't gotten the spirit inside of him yet.
Oh, that's true too. You know, we don't know.
This could be his origin.
Yeah, this could be his origin within.
And yeah, I mean, it could be. This could be Johnny Blaze in the same way, you know, like they're changing him the same way that they changed Miss Marvel. Because, like, in the comics, she doesn't have cosmic powers.
Right.
Right. So they could be changing up Ghost Rider as well. So he's got, you know, mystic powers. So who knows?
That's fair, too.
So there is other stuff, too. So Donnie frequently used fire in his magic. In the, like, first performance we got, he was just shooting fire out of his hands constantly.
And very obsessed with fire.
Yeah. And then he was like, all right, are you guys ready for something with a lot more heat? And then he opened the portal to hell, essentially.
Essentially, yeah.
It probably was hell.
I think it was.
They talked about it.
Yeah, the way that Madison later on described it in court made it sound like she was in hell.
Yeah. And there was a sketch at the end of the episode showing her signing a paper, making a deal with a goat. And
Jake,
you know, she mentioned
his
that
name is
well.
Jake.
Yeah. And she mentioned that as well. And you know, I think I read something about a nickname of Mephisto that's like Jack something or other. So it could be it could be a reference to that. But Mephisto often has a ghost like appearance, like he has hooves. So that's, you know, the goat is probably a reference to him, or a being very similar to Mephisto. But then, yeah, obviously Madison made a deal with essentially the devil, which is a very Ghost Rider thing. That's what his whole story is about. Yeah, because I guess for anybody who doesn't know Ghost Rider's origin, at least the first Ghost Rider, he was supposed to be collecting souls based on like deals that people had made with the devil, and he just refused to do it, and then he had to outrun the devil to, like, you know, prevent those contracts from being collected or whatever, something like that.
Every time he collects on a contract, it makes him more powerful. And you know, I think the very first Ghost Rider, the one that preceded Johnny Blaze, there was a town, the entire town made a contract with the devil. And so when the devil sent Ghost Rider to collect on that, he was like, well, this is way too much power for any person to hold. And
so he
ran.
Refused to give it to him.
Yeah, so he hit it and he ran, and he stayed Ghost Rider for a long time.
Yeah, and that wasn't Johnny Blaze. That was the first Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that was the first Ghost Rider. And then hundreds of years later, I'm taking it, because that happened in like the Old West.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Blaze's character came up, and and I think it was more of a, at least from what we've seen, it was more of a need, not a want. You know, Mephisto's son, I think, was trying to find the contract so he can inherit the power and then basically dethrone Mephisto. And Mephisto was like, well, I can't oppose my son outright, so I need somebody who will do it for me. And thus, Johnny Blaze was born as Ghost Rider. Of course, he was kind of tricked into it, too. So, which is what the devil does. So, but I really enjoyed the entire Ghost Rider stuff in this episode.
Yeah, I did have one more that I found towards the end. So Jen's dad, in the previous episode, at the end of the episode, four guys, which are part of the Wrecking Crew team, which they didn't mention in the episode, but we talked about it in our last episode. So they like jumped out and attacked Jen, and of course she hulked out and then just, you know, wrecked them. Her dad found out about it, and towards the beginning of this episode, he comes to her house and he has all this stuff with him, like he's setting up alarms and all this stuff.
Alarms, cameras. He's got pepper spray
to help keep her safe.
To help keep her safe. And yet she's like, if they come back, I'll just Hulk out again.
Just beat him up again.
Yep, just beat him again. And he also has a shovel.
Yeah. Mysteriously, he has a shovel. And if you look at him when he's holding the shovel, it really seems like he's posing. And if you remember Ghost Rider, there's a character. Sorry, what's the actor's name?
Sam Elliott, he plays the
Sam
caretaker
Elliott, a
in the
legendary Sam
graveyard.
Elliott. So he plays the caretaker and he carries a shovel. He also wears a vest, which is what Jen's dad is wearing. He's wearing a vest and he's got a shovel. He looks very similar to caretaker. He's also got a mustache.
He's got the
Sam
mustache
Elliott.
down
So
there.
that definitely seems like a caretaker reference. So
Plus,
yeah.
it makes sense because, he's her dad, he's her caretaker,
There you go.
it's just, it just fits. So I thought it was great. I thought it was a great little homage there.
So yeah, like I said, lots of references to Ghost Rider, Ghost Rider characters, Mephisto. So definitely seems like we're getting Ghost Rider. There have been rumors about that, and people have been wanting, Mephisto for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
People were thinking we might be getting him as early as Spider-Man No Way Home, but that didn't happen. But it seems like they're listening to the fans and they're gonna make it happen. It's just a question of when. I don't think it's gonna happen in She-Hulk. I mean, maybe. There's still six more episodes. I think it's
I
more
think
likely the next time we see Blade or Black Knight. That's my guess.
we'll get a little tease of Mephisto, but I don't think we'll see Mephisto truly come out and be like really introduced until, yeah, like you said, Blade or Black Knight, But I think we'll get some type of little tease, like of something going on there. Because we still have Matt Murdock to show up too,
Yeah.
so there might be some play on there too.
Yeah.
I mean, he is Daredevil, so
True. True. But yeah, so I've brushed over this before. But Jen set up her dating profile in this episode. And
yeah.
she went as Jen. She's attractive. It should have been fine, but for whatever reason, she wasn't getting any matches, so she gave up and followed
Yeah, she's
Nikki's
attractive, but they
advice.
used her legal
Her legal,
headshot.
yeah,
Like
didn't
they
help,
used
didn't
her
help.
professional, like career headshot as her profile picture, and it's just like, yeah, that's just. I can understand why people would be like, "Oh, she's a very serious person."
Maybe
Maybe
a
a
little intimidated, yeah.
little bit. It's like, oh, she's a lawyer. Pass. But then, yeah,
I love
then.
that part when she gets a notification on her phone that says no new
No new
matches.
match. No new matches.
Why
It's
is
like,
that
why
a
is that even an
notification?
alert?
That's so mean.
I know that is very mean. It's just like false hope alarm. Sorry, it's built into the program.
Man. But yeah, so then eventually she gave up, followed Nikki's advice, and redid her profile as She-Hulk, and then she immediately got.
Like 15 matches
Well,
just to
before
start
they
off.
went to the next screen,
Yeah,
yeah, next scene,
before
yeah.
it cut off, and I'm sure she got many, many more.
Oh,
But didn't really pan out even as She-Hulk either.
So a big theme of this episode, well, I guess we can keep going with the dating, sorry. But yeah, she met a bunch of guys that were kind of weird.
One dude, yeah, so like one dude like told her she was a great specimen. Like he was like looking at her like a science experiment. Then another guy was just was another guy was like, "How much can you deadlift?" And she's like, "A literal ton." He's like, "I did 600 today." It's just like a competition. I was just like, "Good Lord."
Was that specimen thing a reference to Winter Soldier? Because that was when Cap and Black Widow were in the store, some computer store, I don't remember. One of the guys that worked there looked at Steve, and he was like looking him up and down. He's like, specimen. You remember that?
I do remember that now. Now that you mentioned that, yeah, I do. But I don't know if that was a reference to.
It might
I
have
mean,
been.
I mean, it might have been. I mean, he was looking her up and down, just going, wow,
Oh,
you are
and
just a
she
great
is crazy
specimen.
about Steve Rogers.
She is crazy about Steve Rogers.
So could be. Yeah, anything else on that subject? Dating?
No.
All
No.
right. Well, towards the end, she ended up the one guy that she actually did like, she ended up carrying him off to the bedroom, which is pretty
Yeah,
funny.
she did just pick him up and carry him off after she after Wong took her away and brought her ported her back.
Yeah, and he was a big dude,
He was a
so
big dude. He was a big dude. And then it's just it's just like in the morning after, just like, who are you? It's like, Jen Walters. This is me, normal form. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go.
clearly he didn't do his research on She-Hulk.
He did not. Nobody didn't like, but you would also think that she would have like, I don't know. You think on like the that type of profile, you would put She-Hulk photos first and then Jen Walter photos after, just to
Sure.
be like, this is what I am as She-Hulk and this is me afterwards. And it's like it's I'm not
Be
She-Hulk
on the
24.
job, be everywhere
Yeah,
else.
it's like it's not 24/7. Also, you can put that in your bio too. It's like I'm not She-Hulk 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people honestly would probably just not even bother looking. They're like, this is She-Hulk, yes.
Yeah, most likely it's
You
just like,
know?
wow, I matched with She-Hulk. I'm gonna jump on this date real quick.
Yep. All right, so apart from the whole dating thing, a big theme of the episode was Wong's lawsuit against Donnie Blaze
Yeah.
to get him to stop using actual magic, because he keeps sending people to other dimensions.
I know, yeah, that's just Wong's go-to. It's like just send him to the mirror dimension, or it's just like, and I like how they in the end credits, like in the little cartoon
There's a
drawings, he
picture of
actually
him in
does
the mirror
it.
dimension, yeah.
He does it. He sends him to the mirror dimension. I was just like, oh, that's funny.
Does that mean that he actually did it? Because like every
I
picture that they've
don't
shown so
know.
far has been like actual events that have happened.
Right, and I saw it, and I was just like, "Wait, did Wong actually do it and send him to the mirror dimension?
Think he did.
Because that would hurt his case, because they didn't actually the case didn't even actually proceed yet because it's still under review by the judge.
Yeah, I mean they agreed that they would
Cease
they
and
weren't going to
desist.
wait for the judge. They were just going to agree to their request, the cease and
Yeah,
desist.
there's the
So
cease and desist because of the whole incident that happened in the theater and everything, but which I thought was funny as well the second time that he tried doing it and the girl calls him out and she's like, no, I'm not going through that portal. You sent my friend through it last week and she like ended up in the middle of like Wisconsin or something.
yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny too. But yeah, she goes to court. She takes Wong, and then they summon Madison as a witness, and they're like, "Yeah, this was a big mistake. We should not have done this."
I really liked her character.
I did
Very
too.
entertaining.
Like she just walks in with like some type of alcoholic drink. Judge is like, "You can't bring that in here." So she hands it to the bailiff, and she goes,
Like,
"You can finish that
you
if
can
you
finish
want.
it.
I'm not sick."
I'm not sick, like that means something.
I think she was like trying to like reference either coronavirus or something like
Oh
that.
yeah, maybe. I was really confused by that
But
comment.
I
I thought
thought
it
it
was
was
just because she
hilarious
was
that
drunk.
she's giving a testimony on as she's drunk. And then she's like, "Oh, if this is about speeding ticket, just tell him you were calling or texting while driving or something like that." She's just like, "Tell him you were calling 911 and they can't prosecute you." And she's like, "Actually, no, that's not true." Like Jen's just like, "What are you talking about?"
All
But yeah.
right. Well, we can get back to that in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break now and let's talk about the giveaway.
All right.
All right. So the rules are pretty simple. All you have to do is meet me in person, introduce yourself, mention the podcast, and you will get $100. So a few clarifications on this. This is only for the first person that finds me. So I guess you can call it a race. You have to be a subscriber to win this, so you'll need to have some way to prove it to me when we meet. I won't be carrying the cash on me, because that just seems like a bad idea. This is a digital giveaway, so you'll have to have some way of receiving it, either Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, whatever. Friends and family cannot win this one. Sorry, guys. And that's it. So all you have to do is find me. So remember my face, call me out by name, mention the podcast.
Just to be clear, this is, you have to find him, not me.
Not Tim.
Him. I mean, I don't mind you guys coming up to me and saying, hey, you got that guy from the podcast? I'll be happy to say yes, but I'm not giving you any money.
Yeah, maybe we'll do one with Tim in the future. We'll see.
Maybe in the future, but we'll see. We'll see.
But yeah, for now, just me. But yeah, either way, make sure to subscribe, because we're going to be doing more giveaways in the future.
Oh, yeah. More giveaways.
I'm thinking like once a month, but we'll see. Anyway, back to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Madison, we never even
mentioned. Great character. Her what name. A great character. Oh yeah, her name. The way she introduces herself just every single time, she's just always on point with it.
You can tell she says that all the time.
Yeah, she's rehearsed it many times, so she can actually say it when she's
got
drunk,
the body
too.
Language down.
She's like got the body language and everything. I love it so in good. Court where she's just like, please recite your name. It's just, he's like, please state your name for the court. She's like, Madison, that's with two N's and one Y and not in the place that you think. It's just like, it's like, what are you talking about?
Can you spell that for us? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She just starts spelling it off.
So good.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah. A great character. Very.
And she's just, and poor Wong, like, he's like, it's the best friend that he never wanted. So she keeps ruining
Sopranos
TV show Sopranos for him. And I actually love that in the very beginning where it's just like Wong, he's sitting down getting ready to watch The Sopranos, because it's that playoff of the first Doctor Strange movie, where, you know, when Doctor Strange is in his room and everything, and he picks up the card and is like, what is this, my mantra? And he's like, no, it's the Wi-Fi signal. We're not savages. It's like, oh, look. Wong uses the Wi-Fi to stream The Sopranos.
Hey.
He's like, they aren't not savages. Not savages. He's sitting there watching The Sopranos eating popcorn.
Now he just needs to start carrying pocket change so he can get his sandwiches.
I know. Like, he definitely needs to carry pocket change so he can get sandwiches.
I mean, honestly, how do they eat? You know, because I mean...
According to his maybe he still works at Target in Nepal.
Yeah, they didn't actually
maybe
give dates.
Maybe
in
he's
his,
just
LinkedIn
maybe
profile.
I mean, he could be there part-time.
Maybe.
Just working there on the weekend, just going, I need some sandwich money. Or maybe he just bugs Doctor Strange and just uses whatever money he has. That is funny. I love that Wong was like really involved in this one.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty great. So I thought the music in this episode was a lot better. So I've talked about in previous episodes that I have not been enjoying the music. There were like a couple of songs here and there, but for the most part, it's pretty forgettable. But for this episode, I felt like for the majority of the episode, I really enjoyed the music. So
I enjoyed the music as well, especially that opening Donnie Blaze theme song that came in. Because like I told you before we started the episode, like that song just gave it like that 90s cartoon superhero vibe. You know, it's just like, it's like da dun da dun da dun. It's like, I was just like, man, this sounds like it's gonna be epic. And then all of a sudden you see Donnie Blaze just going, and for my next trick, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that kind of
Other than nobody in the audience was impressed.
I know. was
Just
like,
not putting
I
up with
was
the
at first.
Nonsense.
I was like, oh, look, he's floating and he's got his legs crossed. And then he unhooks the cable from the back. And I was just like, man, they were not even trying to hide that thing. It was just blatantly just showing that thing. Oh, okay. That's cool. But yeah, like the music really stuck out to me. It just really felt like it fit within this episode.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, it was on point for sure.
It was on point for this episode. And I think it really has to do with the whole Ghost Rider references they put in there. It's just like, because it just gave that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it definitely worked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there are a few other funny moments I think are worth mentioning. So we got Wong when he was with Jen and they were talking to Donnie the first time about the cease and desist. They had their who was more mystical contest.
He's like,
at
this
the
is
end
just
of it,
yeah, the end of it where
Wong just spits the ball out of his mouth.
Yeah, he twists his ear first and the ball pops out of his mouth.
Yeah,
and they cut your ball. And then he walks away. I like the courtroom scene where they're just like, he's like, he throws the smoke bomb down, his clothes change, and even his lawyers pulling like the never ending ribbons, that like handkerchiefs out of his coat. And Jen's like, oh my god, even the lawyer's a magician.
So
and
good.
Then Donnie throws it down again and changes his clothes again, and the judge is like, stop throwing smoke bombs in my courtroom.
Then he has the hidden bird.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was great, the hidden bird. I thought that was funny as like anything. But yeah, the whole Wong versus he's like, I have more mystic power in my sleep than you do. I was like, man, Wong is pissed. And I was like, and I'm pretty sure it's only because Madison ruined The Sopranos for him. like that must have been like the last straw for Wong. When with Donnie, he's like, all right, I put up with Donnie enough. Now he's ruined Sopranos for me, and I'm gonna take him out. And then yeah, it's just funny.
So Donnie's, you know, one of those sorcerers that just, you know, continued using his magic after he left the Sanctum. Do you think Baron Mordo is going to show up at some point?
You know, I had thought about that too, because like after Wong had explained that Donnie had shown up, and like within his first week or two, he had portaled in like kegs and half of his old fraternity that he was a part of. And then he got expelled. I was like, so did nobody search him? Did nobody search him to make sure that he didn't take like a sling ring? And
yeah,
and
it seems
everything.
Kind of important.
I was like, that is a really important artifact that you wouldn't want to just go wandering off. And I would think
I mean,
he would keep tabs on them all.
I mean, he's all about sleight of hand. Yeah, maybe he
I
just
mean,
snuck it out.
I mean,
somehow
now
got
he's
a fast
sleight
one.
Of hand. I'm not sure if he was. I mean, he could have been like a regular magician before
Right.
going to learn the mystic arts. So
I
yeah,
mean,
he
he was
could have
able
just
to sneak things past security getting into court because he had all
oh
those
yeah,
like magic
he had
cops
this,
with him.
yeah, the pigeon and the smoke bombs are like, how did he get all these past security?
The bunny.
Was it a bunny? Yeah, the bunny. The pigeon came later. But yeah, it was just really funny. And it's interesting. I was wondering that too. I was like, why isn't he here, like trying to take his power back? Like, I don't know where we are at that. Or like maybe he's more focused on like people who are actually going to use their powers for something. Like, I don't know. I feel like I don't know.
Unnatural, like opening a portal to hell.
Well, I was gonna, yeah, I guess it was that. I mean, you would think that he would be more of a target. And then the guy in the first movie who was just using his powers to make himself walk, you know?
Right.
That's all he wanted to do. He
That's
he was
it.
it's not
Just
like
wanted to
he's
walk.
He didn't open any portals or do anything. He didn't use his powers to steal from like a bank or anything. He just was making it, channeling his mystical art powers to make himself walk again. Dottie is over here just going ham with everything,
sending people to other dimensions.
But I feel like Dottie's also relatively has been like recently expelled from there, because the guy in the wings, his hype man, was like telling him to do the portal and everything.
Yeah.
And he seemed a little reluctant at first and nervous. And you can tell when he was starting to do it, he didn't have full control over it either.
Yeah, he struggled a bit.
He struggled, like kind of like Doctor Strange did when he first showed up, right, and everything. And it wasn't until like later on that, like when the girl called him out, that he actually had like control over the portals. Mm-hmm. Because like then that time he was just able to just open it up. I don't think he has control over where he opens it up, though.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like he has control over where the portal opens up to, because first was hell, then I guess there was Wisconsin, which the girl's friend was sent to. And then she was like, and then when he opened up the one for her, it was like some truck stop in the middle of nowhere. I looked at the back and I was like, is that just a truck stop? Like, just go through.
He did successfully open a portal to Wong, though, because he needed his help at the end.
Was that him?
Pretty sure.
Wasn't it? That was him. That was him. He did open it up to Wong.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he does have some type of control. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe
he was like in a moment of desperation, he was able to control it or something.
Maybe that, or maybe it's either random, or like when you use the sling ring, you have to, I think they say you have to focus on where you want to go.
Right.
And when he's opening up the portals to send like the volunteers up, like he doesn't like, he just, I guess he just randomly, whatever pops into his head is what shows up. And then I guess when he needs Wong's help, because he's been there, he's been to Kajmital, he can just open up the portal and go on through. Otherwise, he would just be sending everybody there, because like that's the only other place that he knows.
Well,
I mean, not the only other place. I mean, he could send them
go to like the front hall of the building or something.
I mean, he could. I mean, he could. He could. He could. Yeah, I mean, I think the first time when he sent Madison to hell, I think that was because he was still nervous and he didn't really have control, and he was kind of self-doubting himself on it a little bit.
Probably.
And then as he started using it more and more, he probably practiced too in between.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking initially his hesitance might have just been because he didn't want to rely on that magic. He wanted his actual like stage magic to carry the show.
Yeah. I can see that. Or there could be, you know, Donnie didn't want to use it because he didn't want to. Maybe he has heard about Morbo just going around taking powers from sorcerers, and maybe he didn't want to put a target on his back.
Could be. He doesn't seem that smart, though.
No, he doesn't seem that smart. And his hype man doesn't seem to be doing much for him either. It's just like, are you just hyping him up? Maybe. I was like, man, that. Just need a guy walking around and agreeing with everything you say. Mm. Now that's a true friend.
So I don't know if this occurred to you, but his hype man, he looked an awful lot like the homeless guy from Bruce Almighty. Did you notice that?
He did. Now that you mention it, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked it up. It's not the same actor, which was honestly kind of surprising because he has like very distinct facial features and they look very similar to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was thinking, was that like deliberate? Is he like, is he actually the devil in disguise? Just like the homeless guy was God in disguise.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it was.
Could be, but.
I thought it was really funny when they went to deliver the cease and desist that the hype man had a self-portrait on the wall. I was like, you would think that would be Donnie up there, but no,
it's
the hype guy. Point.
So maybe it is the devil in disguise.
Maybe it is.
Because he's like trying to encourage him to use the portals and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, and
trying to tempt him.
Yeah, because he was just like, oh, you know. And maybe he's like showing him, maybe his hype man is showing him how to control the sling ring in between shows and everything. Because he's just like, oh, you know, you opened up a portal to hell. Let's not do that again, at least not right now. And then the girl said, "No, I'm not going through there." So he closes it and he's like, "All right, let me do this." And then she's like, "Oh, I'm pretty sure his hype man, if theories pan out, showed him how to do the whole pigeon thing, laying an egg in the hand, then turning into a demon." You know?
Yeah, it could be. Definitely seems like there's something going on with him.
Because you know, he wasn't during, and if you think about it, during that whole bit with the whole all those demons flying around, he wasn't really around that much except until the end.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were going after him or anything like that.
True. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see how it pans out.
I mean, it seems like based on that the sketch at the end of the episode, Cornelius is not in the mirror dimension, but Donnie might be.
That's fair.
So dodged a bullet, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cornelius.
We'll have to see.
Indeed, yeah.
So during the court scene, Wong was praying to Guan Yin. So I don't know if that's gonna. Is it Kuan Yin? Something like that. So that's a deity of some kind. I don't know if we'll see her at any point. Mother of Mercy. Makes sense because he was praying to her for mercy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've got a lot of gods that are going to be coming in soon, especially because of Thor, Love, and Thunder. So maybe we'll
We
get
have
to Kuan Yin at
a
some point.
lot of gods in there.
Yeah, with Moon Knight, with Thor, Love, and Thunder. Now this reference to Kuan Yin. See. And the last thing I wanted to mention, so Titania is
I love how she's in every episode without being in every episode. I
yeah.
think that's one of the smartest things that they could do with that character. It's just like, oh
He's
no,
constantly hinting at her.
she's not gonna be physically in every episode, but we're gonna put her in there somehow.
They're not letting us forget about her. She is
No.
still present.
I love how they were like, oh, yep, she her suit, she won her suit, you know, all charges dropped and everything. It's just like, and it's like from the previous episodes, like Titania is very confident that her new legal team can make this all go away. And they did.
Unbelievable.
And they did. Unfortunately, it wasn't Jen that had it go away. But
Yeah.
obvious reasons, because now she's suing her.
Man, what a jerk.
I know, right?
But
I
this makes me
mean,
think that my theory from what second episode might be true, that they might be changing She-Hulk's name because it's trademarked. Maybe she'll have no choice but to change it, which she'll be more than happy to do. So maybe they'll
I mean,
actually do
yeah,
it.
but in this episode, they've said that they've kind of grown fond of the name now.
Did she? Did I miss
Well,
that?
Nikki did, and she was like, "Well, yeah," because she's like, because right afterwards, she's like, Nikki goes, "She-Hulk," and Jen goes, "She-Hulk," and she's like, "It's like, oh, she's catching on, she's catching on to it."
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I
she never actually
don't
said it, though, right? It's just like the tone of voice might have implied it, is what you're saying.
know. Yeah, Jen's tone of voice might have implied it, but Ningi was just like, no, I he's like he's like, I thought you hated the name She-Hulk. She's like, yeah, but I kinda like it. It's catchy.
Okay.
But Jen didn't say that. That was Ningi.
Well, I still hope they'll change it. So that would be a pretty pretty big move on
It
their
would be a
part.
pretty big move, especially with the whole lawsuit, because Titania has trademarked it. And when did she even get the time to trademark it? Like
I
she
mean,
was
she
literally
was.
dubbed She-Hulk the moment after she got arrested. She would have had to trademark She-Hulk before she even got arrested.
Yeah, I mean, was she in prison that whole time while her court case was going on, Titania?
No, I don't think so. Because she busted through the walls. And she's like a
Yeah.
social, she's like an influencer.
Yeah.
So I don't think
Well, I
she
don't know.
has, I don't know.
Anyway. Somehow she found the time, and I don't
But I
know
also have
what
a,
that means, but we'll see.
yeah, so sometimes, somehow she found the time in between everything that she does. the trademark She-Hulk, or maybe ever since she learned that Bruce Banner was Hulk, she's like, if there's ever a woman Hulk, I'm gonna trademark She-Hulk.
I mean, maybe she trademarked it before She-Hulk's name. Like, they didn't really specify when when Titania trademarked She-Hulk.
Right, but that's the
It
thing,
could have
like,
been before,
so
because I mean, she's very strong. She could consider herself like a female version of Hulk. So she could have called
well,
herself
that's the
She-Hulk
thing.
and
She
trademarked
could
it
have
a
been
while
referring
ago.
to herself as She-Hulk, but again, like, unless that's the case, like, she gets arrested. News channel is on scene talking to eyewitnesses, going, "Oh, you know, she turned green and turned into like a female version of Hulk," and it's just like, and the guy's like, "She-Hulk," and it's just
Right.
like, bam, it's just taking on a life form of itself, and it's just like. And it's like kind of like what Banner was telling her, like Smart Hulk was saying. It's like she's like, "Oh, you're Hulk now." He's like, "Smart Hulk, I don't get to choose the names. Like, it just happens."
I'll gladly bring it up every chance he
I
gets.
know. Yeah, he gladly brings it up every time. So it's just like, so I think this would be great if this was a play on it. It's like, oh, you know, they call he's like, "What do they call you?" She's like, "She-Hulk." Now she's being sued for it. Now she can't call herself She-Hulk anymore legally. So they have to change it. And Bruce is like, "Damn, I guess I'm stuck with Smart Hulk." No one's trademarked Smart Hulk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have to see what comes from this trademark situation.
I had to say that I did enjoy the delivery guy's presentation of
Trying to
serving the
sneak it past
paper.
her.
Yeah, he's like, "I got a package for Miss Jen Walters." She's like, "Are these service papers?" She's like, "Yeah, I've seen these many times before." He's like, "Okay," and he's like, "No,
Worth a
thank you." Yeah,
shot.
he's like, "No,
Oh,
yeah,
man.
it's just worth a shot." And it's just like, oh, it's like, oh man, I was like. I was like, man, somebody must have been. I thought it was like a secret admirer type of thing. And then she's like, he's like, "Oh, are they service papers?" Yeah. And he's like, "Yep." And he opens them up. And she's like, "You're being sued."
Oh, man.
So funny.
All right. Well, anything else you wanted to talk about the episode? I think that about covers it.
Where do you think? So I had a little theory as to where during the whole theater fight, where they opened that other portal to like funnel all the
Oh,
demons
yeah.
out.
I forgot that.
So
Yeah, I
my
mean, that
first
looks
theory
like.
was like where Everest, like when in first Doctor Strange, when the Ancient One like stranded Doctor Strange in Everest. But then it also reminded me of the mountains where, you know, Doctor Strange,
Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness, where, you
Yeah,
know,
that's what I
they,
was thinking.
that's what I was thinking too, because Wong was there as well.
Maybe he's sending the demons there, because I mean, that seems like it's Earth, right? Like
Yeah.
they're still in our dimension, which is like,
I know. I was just
what are
like,
you doing, Wong? Why are you sending them there?
what's gonna stop them from flying back
Right.
to get to you?
But maybe he sent them there because he knew that they would be taken care of. You know, maybe
Maybe.
Scarlet Witch is still there.
Well, that see, and I actually had this conversation with a coworker of mine, where we were talking, like, because I was talking about our podcast and everything, and we were talking about Multiverse of Madness, and he was like talking about it. He's like, I was satisfied with how the Scarlet Witch ended. It ended with her, and I was just like, but did it? But did it? He's like, yeah, it ended. I was like, but. Did it? It was like there was no confirmation, there was no
Yeah.
nothing to
I
really
mean, if Scarlet Witch wanted to
definitive.
survive a building landing on
She,
her, she could
I
easily.
mean, for all we know, that little poof of energy that happened was like she could have just teleported herself somewhere else. Like, I mean, we don't know what that was. It's just like, it's like, because like there's no confirmation, like nobody ever confirms anybody's death in these
I
in these things. It's just like. Like, for all we know, Captain Marvel, the variant, She probably was just knocked unconscious under those stones.
I mean,
Nobody
she
like
should have been. If
she
she's
should have
actually
been. Nobody
dead,
actually double
then
checked to make sure she was dead.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that would kill her.
Right. So it's
so
just like,
if she's
but like
dead,
I just
the
got into this
made a
conversation
mistake.
with my colleague at work, just going, I was like, but is the Scarlet Witch dead? I don't think she is. I really don't think she is. I think she's still around. And I think Wong sent those demons to wherever she is, like in those mountains there. I mean, for all we know, she's still in those mountains. Like, she destroyed the temple and everything, but she probably still there, like just kind of coming to terms with everything that she's done, you
just
know,
living
kinda,
her own life.
Yeah, just living away from everyone, solitude, kind of reflecting on everything she's done. Because in the end, like a Multiverse of Madness, she was, after everything that went down, she felt really bad about everything that happened, and she was just like, it's like, I can't believe what I did. And it's just like, okay, well, repent in solitude. So for all, but I was like, but when he opened that portal, I was like, ooh, that looks really familiar.
Yeah.
That looks really familiar.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I don't know if we'll be getting Scarlet Witch or not, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
If we
yet.
Don't end up seeing the demons again, I think that's probably what happened.
Yeah, I
the
would
Sorcerer
assume that
Supreme
too.
Can't take them out, because like they can't
die,
at least not by his hands.
But
if he can't do it, then there's not many that can. Scarlet Witch is one of the few that would be strong enough.
And I'm pretty sure if she is still there and he sent them there and she was just like, nope, not dealing with this, and she just destroyed them, and it's just like, oh, problem solved. So yeah. Speaking of portals, I rewatched Shang-Chi, and when they go into the locker room, the scene with after the Abomination Wong fight, when they go into the locker room and they're talking to each other, it's like, it wouldn't hurt so much if you follow the plan that we did. When he opens the portal again, if you look in the background, it's Abomination's prison cell. It's his current prison cell. Yeah, it's in the background there. Yeah, I had to pause real quick, but I was like, wait, that is the prison cell. I was like,
continuity.
I know, that's what I was saying. I was like, wow, good on you, Marvel. Good on you. That's
nice
great.
One. Props.
But also, he was wearing underwear in that. The Abomination was wearing underwear. I was like, what, they didn't have Abomination size underwear for She-Hulk episodes?
So what I'm wondering is, that actually what it was in the theatrical version, or is that something that they edited in later for continuity?
I mean, after that episode aired?
Yeah, because I mean, they could do that in editing.
I mean, yeah, they could do it in editing, but I'm pretty sure it was in the original theatrical version.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
Because I remember him opening up a portal, and it was
pretty, I know,
dark.
He opened a portal,
and it was pretty dark inside, but it didn't look like Kaj Matar.
Yeah,
when
I don't
remember
well
seeing
enough.
It,
but
yeah,
that's cool.
But yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's definitely his cell. That's really it.
It's the actress who played Miss Marvel. Can't remember her name. She was saying that Disney doesn't plan ahead, or Marvel doesn't plan ahead nearly as far as we think they do. There's just a lot of like happy coincidences.
Right? I mean,
so,
it would make sense though, between like Shang-Chi and Multiverse of Madness, why we never see Abomination again. It's just because Wong took him back to his cell. And just like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
But yeah.
Very cool.
Very interesting. I thought it was cool.
Okay, anything else?
Nah, I think that's it for
good
me.
Good catch, though.
Thanks.
Cool. Non-She-Hulk stuff. So Disney Plus Day is today. By the time this episode airs, it's going to be a couple days before this. But we're recording this on Disney Plus Day. I was looking through the announcements before we started recording. Unfortunately, there's really not much as far as Marvel announcements go. Thor Love and Thunder is on Disney Plus now, and there's a making of Thor Love and Thunder on there as well. That's it. There was not really that much Marvel related, unfortunately. But tomorrow, well, Friday through Sunday is D23. So that's like Disney's convention, essentially. I didn't really see much related to the MCU in the agenda that I saw, at least. Maybe we'll get some stuff, maybe not, because they announced a lot at Comic-Con, so we might not get anything MCU related. But if we do, we'll talk about it in our next episode. If not, we'll at least briefly mention it at the end of our episode, like we're doing right now.
Fair.
But yeah, so our next episode will either be talking about D23 or episode 5 of She-Hulk. So make sure to join us for that. And whenever somebody manages to find me, I will announce the winner so you guys know that I'm not just making it up. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, yeah, if you missed it, I did give the details of the giveaway. You have to find me in person, and the rules of that are like 20 minutes before this or something. So, but yeah, thanks for joining, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.